It's Monday.
It's June 16th.
And the word of the day is married. Use the sentence, I'm getting married, y'all. What?
No, Heath, you and Anne are the fucking prize. Married is getting y'all.
Yes, by
okay,
me.
Thank you.
Yes. I'm No Illusions.
I'm Eli Bosnick. I'm Heath Enright. And broadcasting delayed from America's far center, we are the Skeptocrats.
On this week's episode, we'll go full tea on the Musk-Trump breakup.
At least 1.6% of America shows up to make sure Trump has a shitty birthday.
And I'm getting married.
He is.
Yeah, he is. But first, the rest of the intro music.
Joining me for headlines tonight are my fellow skeptic rats, No Illusions, and Eli Bosnick. Gentlemen, I'm getting married, so any advice for the noob?
Never go to bed angry. Take your revenge right then and there.
Okay, so for the record, my advice was going to be don't take anybody else's advice on your marriage, even before Eli said that.
That's excellent.
Feels like
advice.
It was cheating.
Don't take
cheating.
It.
Noted. One of those was noted. In our lead story tonight, as a longtime bartender at TGI Fridays, it's been my distinct pleasure to watch terrible people have extremely messy fights many a time. Well, the entire country got a fun variation over the last 2 weeks. The terrible people are Donald Trump and Elon Musk, of course. The TGI Fridays is a large public forum on the World Wide Web owned by Elon and another owned by Donald Trump. And the Long Island iced teas are ketamine. And similar amounts of involuntary urine in both cases.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and honestly, it was the best thing the White House did all week.
Yeah, and by the way, when Heath says involuntary urine, he's probably referring to people pissing themselves. But given the predilections of the cooks at the staff of TGI Fridays and the way that Elon is licking Trump's piss off of a plate at the end of this story, I can't say for sure. I think
we can. It's true.
Pee pants.
It could be all of them. So this all started with Elon Musk heading up the Doge and promising to cut $2 trillion of wasteful spending.
How'd that go?
He was Job. Then he bargained himself down against himself several times and landed on the claim that he cut $175 billion by the end of May.
Oh, that's way lower.
Well, the actual number is more like $2.6 billion. And the actual number, when you consider future costs of stupid shit like spreading disease around the world and the cuts to our only service of revenue, it's that we're losing money in the long run. But let's be generous and call it $2.6 billion when Musk was done and he got handed a golden key as an emotional parachute and was told to leave. Then Trump's lackeys in the House passed the one big beautiful bill, which would add about $3 trillion to the national debt over the next 10 years. Well, that was a slap in the face to Elon Musk. He just got done cutting nearly 9/10 of that number from the budget.
And just finished getting slapped in the face. Yeah,
right. Yeah.
So he tweeted, "This massive, outrageous, pork-filled congressional spending bill
is a
disgusting abomination." Yeah, he doesn't know what pork means there. And then he added, "It more than defeats all the cost savings achieved by the at Doge team at great personal cost and risk."
You guys should see how hard Sarah chucks big balls when they're doing it. He is in danger. Danger.
Okay, but just to be clear about what a small number we're talking about. Okay, so forgetting to turn the lights out when you left three different federal agencies on the same night would defeat all the cost savings achieved by Doge, right? Like, even if you use Heath's generous positive number formulation of that.
Yeah. So the next day, somebody told Trump that his angry ex was talking shit on the internet. So Trump truthed a screenshot of Musk's tweet from the end of May that was thanking Trump for giving him the job at Doge. So, you know, passive aggressive, solid by Trump there. But then Elon fired back with two old posts by Trump from 2012 and 2013. One said that Republicans raising the debt ceiling is embarrassing, and the other said, no member of Congress should be eligible for re-election if the budget's not balanced. Basically, hashtag hypocrite says what? Also, pretty solid. And that's when Trump got some reporters into the Oval Office and said, I'm not mad, I'm disappointed. Which, you know, classic parent move.
Wait, pretty he wants good. To fuck Elon? Oh, you sorry, you meant other parents. Oh, I thought you were talking about Trump. Sorry. Confused, Heath.
Well, he doesn't want to fuck all this. He wants to choke Tiffany for a completely different reasons. So.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah. Okay, well, from there, they argued about the bill some more, both lying a whole bunch. And then Trump threatened to take away all the contracts with Elon's companies. So now the entire internet is the eating popcorn meme, and the world economy is hinging on a messy public breakup fight in a virtual Friday's parking lot. One guy already has a black eye, and yeah, everyone's cool with it, but things could get really bad if it escalates. And that's when Elon tweeted, Donald Trump is in the Epstein files.
Yeah. Ironically, Donald Trump couldn't even stay friends with Jeff Epstein. That's true, by the way.
Not ironic at all. But obviously Trump is in the fucking Epstein files, though. Right? Like that's there's no fucking there are
sure
pictures.
Is.
We've seen pictures.
Yeah, so. We've seen declassified stuff of him very clearly being in the Epstein files. So Elon remained in a K-hole snit and kept arguing. And by the way, it's hard to be on ketamine and have a snit going.
It's
right?
That's really difficult. Hard. It's an anti-snit drug.
That's the whole thing. Like you could have a wild horse being all flouncy, big snit. They come right back down and
okay.
smile.
Right
yeah,
on down
just
again.
A little bit. Nonetheless, Elon was in a snit and he threatened to have SpaceX decommission the Dragon spacecraft. That would leave people stranded on the International Space Station. So a random person on Twitter saw that and said, hey, Elon, cool off and take a step back for a couple days. And Elon wrote back, okay, we won't decommission Dragon.
You hear that, Noah? The space program depends on the kindness and mercy of yeah. Elon Musk right yep. now. That's how our space program's doing.
Oh, my fucking God.
Awesome. We also had some other adjacent personalities getting involved.
Ooh, who chimed in?
Kanye West.
Okay.
Or Yay. He posted, bros, please, no, we both love you so much. Exact words.
Yeah.
Elon's ex and the mother of one of his brood of white boys to repopulate the planet jumped in as well. That'll be Ashley St. Clair. She tweeted, hey, Donald, let me know if you need any breakup advice.
Oh, nice. Well done. Well done.
And of course, it was very important to get some ideas from Stephen Bannon at this point. He suggested that Trump should seize and nationalize SpaceX and also deport Elon Musk.
Yeah. Honestly, a day on Twitter where I find myself agreeing with both Elon Musk and Steve Bannon, it's a tough one.
Yeah.
It was a weird moment.
Yeah. Well, but you know what? I thought about it, and there are some things that I don't mind having in common with Elon Musk. Like, for example, if I pissed down the front of his pants, I would also just carry on with my dad.
Yeah, blame my three-year-old and keep going.
That sounds delightful. So now Elon's retweeting calls for impeachment and threatening to fund Democrats for spite. Trump really doesn't like that one. He was afraid of that one. And the entire Republican Party is trying to get Trump and Musk on the phone together to stop the meltdown. After a few days of like power moves by Trump to avoid talking, it led to the following moment in... Well, it was either the White House briefing room or a middle school cafeteria. Not clear. Could be both. A reporter asked, do you plan to speak to Elon Musk on the phone anytime soon? And Trump started by pretending he didn't know the name. And he was like, which one? The reporter repeated the question. And Trump was like, oh, Elon. Okay, yeah, yeah. And that's when the president of the United States said, exact quote, I haven't really thought about it. Actually, I would imagine he wants to speak to me. He must want to speak to me. If I were him, I would want to speak to me. Maybe he's already called. You'd have to ask him. Ask him if he's already called. But I'd have no problems with it.
Oh, I was just... Sorry, me and my other billionaire friends were sitting on a big pink bed braiding each other's hair when he called. Probably didn't even hear his call as it went to voicemail.
Trump gets him on the phone. He's like, I don't hear a voice. Do you hear a voice, Tall Tyler? I don't...
Oh, it's crazy. Crazy.
So they finally got on the phone last week. This required a pre-phone call phone call with Musk talking to J.D. Vance and White House Chief of Staff Susie Wiles. And then the two jilted lovers, they finally got on the phone and had an extremely awkward talk that lasted about a minute. Apparently, Elon apologized. Trump left a big silent gap and then said something like, uh-huh, and then hung up. That was like the whole thing. And then a couple days later, we got a very sad grovel tweet from Elon that said, I regret some of my posts. And he deleted the tweet about the Epstein files. So yeah, in the end, the deep state won.
Always
chalk
do.
Up another W. Great work, everybody.
It's a shame, though, that we no longer know that Elon knows that Trump is in the Epstein files. That was good knowledge to have while it lasted.
Yeah, that's how the internet works. Well, that might be where the lamestream media's narrative ends. But luckily for us, that microphone we disguised as a bowl of diner mints remains in place at the Oval Office. So let's roll that tape and see how things really went down.
They've been at it all day.
And you're sure we can't just let them knife fight it out?
I am. Yes, for the third time. No, we can't do that. Mr. Trump? Elon? You guys still in here?
Yeah, we're here.
Have you guys been sitting here the entire time in silence?
I have been playing my handheld from the Republic of Gamers.
What?
No, that's a real thing. Listen, guys, you've got to cut this out.
Tell him to cut it out.
No, you cut it out.
He threatened to leave the astronauts in space.
Yeah, and it really hurt me. Dragonheart is like my favorite movie.
Guys, stop. Stop. I am 2 days away from marrying Big Balls, and when Archimedes flies off his lectern and removes my veil, I want to see both of you there as friends. You guys are like my dads.
Your dad is Mike Huckabee.
Read the room, Sonic Boom.
Jesus, Tyler.
Sorry.
All right. So what do you say? Truce?
Yeah, why the hell not?
In the words of the Queen of Blades, the swarm conquers all.
What?
I never have any idea what the fuck you're talking about, man.
I just don't see what this subplot does for the show.
Tyler!
Sorry.
Come on!
All right, well, the registry for Saren Big Balls says I need a crypto wallet to send meme coins. So we're going to take a break while I figure that out, and we'll get a word from our sponsor, Policy Genius. See? Right there in Europe.
No way!
Way? Pay up?
Ah, fine. Here you guys go.
Eli, this is nothing. You handed me nothing. What do you mean, here you go?
Ah, gentlemen, I'm afraid I didn't hand you nothing. I'm paying you in the money my dad left me when he died.
Was it invisible money?
Exactly, because he didn't know about Policy Genius, and also he was a public school teacher, so...
Sure, but what's Policy Genius?
Policy Genius makes finding and buying life insurance simple, ensuring that your loved ones have a financial safety net they can use to cover debts and routine expenses. You can compare quotes from top insurers and find coverage that fits your needs and your budget. With Policy Genius, you can find life insurance policies starting at just $276 a year for $1 million in coverage. It's an easy way to protect the people you love and feel good about the future.
That sounds amazing, Eli, but that insurance stuff always seems so complicated. What if I need help?
Well, with Policy Genius, their licensed support team helps you get what you need fast, so you can get on with your life. They answer questions, handle paperwork, and advocate for you throughout the process.
All right, Eli, I'm sold. Where do I sign up?
Secure your family's future with Policy Genius. Head to PolicyGenius.com to compare free life insurance quotes from top companies and see how much you could save. That's PolicyGenius.com.
All right, Eli, thanks. Still can't believe you thought Portugal wasn't a real country, though.
I thought it was only in books, like Luxembourg.
Also a real country.
No way!
Yeah, man.
And in Rain on My Parade news, as protesters took to the streets this weekend, fighting back against Donald Trump's fascist regime, he did what every tyrant does when faced with the fact of their true powerlessness. He threw himself a tiny, expensive, and extremely stupid birthday party that he pretended was for the army, so we're going to talk about it.
Yeah, the nice thing about watching it was that every time you were struck by how terrifying the images were, they would cut to this sad, bored, soggy crowd wishing that they'd stayed home, and that would just lift you right up.
Indeed you did. So regular listeners will remember we actually already discussed Donald's very special birthday parade back on episode 248, but so many stupid details and disasters have been filled in that time, so I had to go back for another bite of this apple. For example, according to the New York Times, the parade consisted of 7,000 soldiers, some in replicas of army uniforms from different eras, including the Revolutionary, Civil, Korean, and Vietnam Wars, as well as both World Wars. No word yet on which side of the Civil War they were wearing the uniforms for, but I have a guess.
Okay, I told Matt Powell I would pay for him to fly in riding a pterodactyl drone so the Confederate Army could shoot him down. Could have been the best party ever.
Never takes our calls.
Oh, speaking of drones, my favorite part, I watched almost this whole parade. My favorite part was they had a drone pilot guy, but they didn't, like, they wouldn't let him fly the drone, so he just had to spend the whole fucking parade holding the drone over his head like Lady Liberty's torch.
But it's not just the ideas that were dangerous and out of date. The parade also employed a wide variety of modern and antiquated military vehicles, including 70-ton Abrams tanks, 30-ton Bradley fighting vehicles, and 20-ton Strykers. And if you're thinking, hey, doesn't the parade route go over a bridge very much not able to carry a 70-ton tank? Yes, you would be correct. These vehicles were staged in the West Potomac Park near the parade, and the Army allocated several heavy towing vehicles nearby for when slash if they broke down.
Hey, can we get a flyby from the Space Force, too?
Well, it would have been as useful as a lot of the flybys they got on that steel grade day. And you knew that every thought you had leading up to it about how Nazi it was going to look, you know, to run lines of tanks down Pennsylvania Avenue were insufficient. The second you realized that they were also doing World War II era tanks.
Yeah, not great. Not great. But my favorite detail is the ending of the ceremony where the Golden Knights, the Army's parachute team, jumped from the sky, landed in the Ellipse, a park south of the White House, and then presented an American flag to the president on behalf of the Army because it was his very special birthday, you see.
And then the Army guys have to start a slow clap for me and then chant, Donald. Donald. See, it never works when I do it myself. Nobody was with me. They have to.
So when all was said and done, this incredibly expensive fuckery covered less than 1,600 yards. He basically circled his toy soldiers around his backyard, and it cost $45 million.
Before you factor in cleanup and road repair, yes.
Yeah, so that's a good reminder next time your shitty Republican uncle complains about how expensive it is to give immigrants jurisprudence.
There you go. And in when press conference comes to poll conference news, friend of the show, Jonathan Cherry, had a really interesting post on Blue Sky the other day where he said, quote, "The United States will always be moving towards authoritarianism, will always be flirting with fascism. Its democracy will always be hanging in the balance," end quote. And that hit hard, and it hit all the harder when the day after he posted that, a democratically elected lawmaker was dragged out of a press conference in handcuffs for the crime of representing his constituents. And I'm talking, disgusting, of course, about the case of Senator Alex Padilla being forcibly dragged out of Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem's press conference last Thursday.
Okay, well, I think we can all start freaking out when they're, like, changing the photos of political enemies. Oh, shit, they did that. Give me a second. I'll think of one they haven't done, and then...
No.
Probably not.
So if you're not familiar with Padilla, he's the guy that Gavin Newsom appointed to replace Kamala Harris when she became the vice president. He's also California's first Hispanic senator. I wonder if that factored into his mistreatment at the hand of Kristi Noem's goons. But to be clear, there were exactly three people in the world who had more right and reason to be in the room where Kristi Noem was answering questions than Senator Padilla: Gavin Newsom, Karen Bass, and Luigi Mangione.
And Old Yeller, too. I want Old Yeller.
Okay, yeah, no, yeah, we'll give Old
for
Yeller
stuff.
A
little
try
Kevlar
too.
Onesie.
Just like one bite. He can have one
it's
bite.
It's adorable.
But look, she was answering questions about why the fuck the federal government was deploying troops against his constituents. So I feel like it's reasonable to have a few questions.
Yeah, and to be clear, he was in the building for a briefing on that situation. That would be like if Noah and Heath arrested me for being part of the next headline on this podcast.
But, okay, despite his right and even duty to be there, when he stood up to ask a question, he was accosted by Secret Service agents and physically shoved out of the room, where FBI agents forced him to the ground, handcuffed him, and arrested him. And despite video of the event where you can clearly hear him saying, "I'm Senator Alex Padilla," at the very start of the confrontation, the Secret Service, the FBI, and Christy Noem have all claimed at this point that he never identified himself. The Secret Service also said that he lunged at Noem despite the fact that he quite visibly didn't. And I have to emphasize once again, of course, that this is a goddamn press conference. The whole fucking point is that you have a room full of cameras and microphones. That's what we're doing here. And yet they seem to have forgotten that the altercation would have been recorded.
They really forgot that. Padilla's aide started recording it, and the agents demanded that phone be shut off. And the aide was like, "Yeah, fine." And then winked at the professional TV cameras that were filming the end of that phone recording.
Cool. So we can all agree that if the FBI agents who did this still have jobs after this, they're just a Gestapo now, right?
Yep.
Like, I think they have to change their names or something so we don't confuse them for real FBI agents.
Right. So now for her part, Noem dismissed Padilla's attempted question as political theater, which, to be fair, she's something of an expert on. Like, seriously, I'm surprised she wasn't wearing, like, a fucking Greek theater mask to emphasize how theatrical it was. Like, for those of you who don't get that joke, I should point out that Christy Noem has just been absolutely achooming her way through her stint as the Secretary of Homeland Security, having cosplayed as an ICE agent, a Border Patrol agent, a customs agent, a police officer, a firefighter, a member of the Coast Guard, and a cowboy in just her first 142 days. And if you don't get the achooming reference, by the way, that's your own damn fault for not listening to all the podcasts.
Yeah, and if you do get that joke, just know that Achoom looks way more human than Christy Noem does at this point. I think it's fair.
And likes dogs more.
Is that a skin hat? What doctor does skin hats?
Now, for their part, Padilla's Democratic allies dubbed the scene a, quote, sickening disgrace and a, quote, affront to democracy, end quote. L.A. Mayor Karen Bass called it, quote, absolutely horrendous and outrageous, end quote. And even a few Republicans rented a spine long enough to condemn the act, with Lisa Murkowski calling it, quote, shocking at every level, adding that
suck
it was,
suck my ass, Lisa Murkowski.
Yeah, right. No, she also said it was, quote, not the America I know. And I'm like, no, of course, the America you know is the one you see when you bury your fucking head in the sand.
Yeah, but don't worry, everyone involved in this was so horrified that they continue to participate and uphold that system, staying entirely within the bounds of its power and with their objections. So yeah, show them who's boss, am I right? It's them. It's the fascists who's boss, because they break the rules.
Less rule of law. But perhaps the most poignant response to the incident came from Senator Padilla himself. In a follow-up video where he assured his supporters he was okay, he pointed out that, quote, if they can do this to me, a United States senator, what are they doing to a lot of folks out there when the cameras are not on, end quote.
And in the Euro Gotham Deserves news,
nice,
we have a story about the race for New York City mayor and sandwiches.
Nailed it.
The current mayor is former Democrat Eric Adams, who got indicted
for a
massive string of corruption last year and is currently avoiding prosecution for that by doing a massive string of corruption this year in cooperation with Donald Trump and ICE. Adams is running for re-election as an independent now, and the GOP candidate is Curtis Sliwa, the founder of the Guardian Angels, who knows a whole bunch of karate, and he wants you to know that. He also wears a beret all the time.
Our Republicans are adorable.
But
it's like a little man.
New Yorkers are tired of all the terrible leadership from bad people. So the current frontrunner in the upcoming Democratic primary is Andrew Cuomo.
Sure is.
I've heard of him.
Yeah. He's been accused by at least 13 people of sexual harassment and had to resign from his post as New York State governor in 2021.
That's what you've heard of
him. He's also shitty for other reasons, too, like some conservative-leaning economic policies that got him plenty of Wall Street money for his campaign. Yet somehow, he's the favorite.
And hey, if you were willing to give him a pass for the sexual harassment until you heard about his economic policies, I'm just saying this might not be the podcast for you. You know, so, I don't think we're.
Yeah. But I think the message that New York is sending is get back in the race, Anthony Weiner. It is your time.
But there is some good news. Thanks to recent surge by progressive candidate Zoran Mamdani, it's not a lock for Cuomo. Most of the polls are showing a lead for Cuomo, but the latest numbers from public policy polling are giving Mamdani a small edge. The other good news, the Democratic primary has ranked choice voting. Yes. Instead of voting for just one name, you can rank up to five candidates in this case from best to worst. This, or something similar like range voting, is how all voting should happen, because it actually captures democracy, like, way better. And it removes spoilers. It removes the problem of all the fucking idiots who didn't vote for Hillary Clinton and Kamala Harris in those generals.
Well, yeah, you have to weigh that against Floridian voters who couldn't figure out punch a hole in a ballot and are now being given this. But yes, it is definitely objectively better.
Now, when you say better. Sad...
So, in the New York City primary, if no candidate gets more than 50% of the first choice votes, the ranked choice calculation begins and your second choice votes come into play. Well, fortunately, Mamdani and the other leading progressive candidate, Brad Lander, are playing the strategy correctly, so they cross-endorsed each other. They're telling all their voters to rank them number one and number two, which effectively has them combining forces to beat Cuomo.
Yeah, a bunch of assholes in black turtlenecks on the NYU campus are like, okay, but how do I harm someone with my vote in an attempt to get laid then? What would be the point of voting?
It feels like bad people figuring out this strategy could be a chink in ranked choice voting's armor.
Nah!
Yeah, bad people and good people are going to do the strategy
Who's
thing.
The guy in the beret going to team up with? No illusions. You yeah. tell me.
Yeah, yeah, right. No, who in the world in America?
Still better
find?
Overall. So
you can defeat me in a judo contest. Nope, you know what?
So just in case anyone needs more convincing, I want to talk about a couple moments from last week. The first is from the final primary debate. Cuomo, 67 years old, tried to attack Mamdani, 33, for a lack of experience. And Mamdani's response was perfect. He said, quote, to Mr. Cuomo, I never had to resign in disgrace. I never cut Medicaid. I never stole hundreds of millions of dollars from the MTA. I never hounded 13 women who credibly accused me of sexual harassment. I never sued for their gynecological records. Wow. And I've never done those things because I am not you, Mr. Cuomo. End quote. We also learned last week that a super PAC supporting Cuomo created a mailer that doctored a photo of Mamdani, who happens to be Muslim. The doctored photo very clearly has a thicker and darker beard.
Jesus okay. fucking Christ.
To make him look hotter? They were really stretching with the Photoshop here.
Well, right, because some Photoshop guy was given this picture and said and told to make it look more Muslim.
Yep. So. Absolutely what happened. And that brings us to the most important political issue here.
Yes, speak to
sandwiches.
It.
Sandwiches.
Yes.
In particular, bagels. This is New York City, and that's what matters. During an interview with the New York Times, Cuomo was asked, what is your bagel order or favorite breakfast sandwich? And Cuomo got it wrong so fucking hard, it's insane. He said, quote, bacon, cheese, and egg
what?
On an English muffin.
Oh, fuck you.
And... jail. Jail. You go to jail now. Straight to Rikers.
No, you don't even deserve a New York prison.
Mm-mm,
ridiculous.
No.
Okay, so first of all, the answer has to start with bagel.
Yes, and obviously it's a fucking bagel.
God damn it. That was a beautiful trap set by that reporter, actually. The question seems to leave the options open, but the answer must be a bagel.
It's New York.
And also, if you say bacon... cheese and egg instead of bacon, egg, and cheese, you're the fucking 20th hijacker.
100%.
You're fucking Westchester carpetbagger piece of shit.
Podcast listener, you might not be from New York City or have spent a long time there like Heath, Noah, and myself have. He could not have gotten that question more wrong if he had said his favorite breakfast was standing at the top of a moving escalator.
So yeah, whatever... Islamophobia might have been lurking to damage support for Zoran Mamdani. it's gone.
It's gone. We're all in.
Sadly,
now.
Not really, really, but it should be gone. And that's despite Mamdani's order also being wrong, just nowhere near as bad. He orders a poppy seed bagel, okay, legit, with scallion cream cheese, also right. legit.
Acceptable.
But then he fucking ruins the bagel by toasting it. If you're there in the morning,
all right.
The bagels are fresh in the morning from the amazing New York City bagel shop. They're fresh. And you don't genocide the bagel in a toaster. That's okay. Right, genocide.
Okay.
I'm saying genocide. But still, yes, way better than Cuomo.
Okay, so you know what? Maybe I don't want to still be chewing on my breakfast sandwich when I'm going to bed that night, Heath. Did you ever think of that?
Wow. We're getting into bagel. It.
Okay, so bottom line. Andrew Cuomo and Noah did 9/11. And if you're in New York City, pause the podcast right now and go vote. Early voting already started ahead of the June 24th official date. Do it.
Yeah.
Do it correctly.
And you don't have to rank Andrew Cuomo.
But hey, rank toasted bagel ahead of him, though.
Yeah, rank, literally, right? Rank toasted
rank
bagel.
Rank 9/11 ahead of him.
Next up in headlines in Taco Tuesday news, the U.S. trade war against China ended this week and we lost. Mm-hmm. Best case scenario, actually, we lost. So we're going to talk about it.
Sure, we lost in the end. But hey, we got there by losing at every step along the way.
Yes, in the early hours of Wednesday morning, because they totally needed to ruin my Taco Tuesday joke from the intro, both sides reached a handshake agreement which would remove some of the economic punishments the two countries have levied on each other over the past few months. Punishments, it's worth noting, that did way more damage to the U.S. than they did to China.
Yep.
And the mutual tariffs are still in place. So don't worry. The two sides made a deal, but the crippling price increases, those are still in place. You can just get the things that you're going to pay 30% more for than you would have if Kamala Harris was president.
Okay, this is like Steven Seagal getting choked out by Gene LaBelle and shitting himself, and then being like, I'll stop if you stop. I'll stop. Except in this case, Trump choked himself out. And
yes.
Had himself.
Yes.
Exactly. But the bad news doesn't end there because there is absolutely no indication that these negotiations will hold. We are literally one White House press conference question away from being set back to zero yep. on this arrangement, which is almost exactly what happened in May when the two countries reached a handshake agreement back then, only for Trump to undo it all because he ain't no chicken.
Yeah. All right, we'll just give you a second, Eli. You got to unload all that stock from GameStop, I'm assuming.
I do.
Well, yeah, so we should be clear that, yes, A, a handshake deal isn't a deal, and B, even if they had a signed fucking treaty in blood, it wouldn't matter to the guy who shat all over his own trade deal with Mexico and Canada at the beginning of this term.
Exactly, yeah. So you might be wondering, Eli, why are you bringing this story up? The news of Trump's economic blithering feels like old news, and it feels a lot less urgent than a lot of the news we read every day. But you know who does care about this stuff way more than they care about fascist kidnappings? The majority of Americans.
Yeah.
The only way we're going to trick your monstrous neighbors into voting correctly is by reminding them that, yes, Trump is sending people to concentration camps. And yes, he's attempting what can only be called a fascist takeover of the U.S. government. But it's making parts for their trucks more expensive. And that might just matter to them, people.
It might. I mean, we tried human rights. That sure didn't move the fucking
It does not either. Matter. They do not care about humans nope. at all. Nope. Just them and their wallets.
And finally tonight, in no faux king way news. Best sign I saw on Saturday. Well done, whoever came up with that.
Nice.
While
Fantastic.
Trump was struggling to stay awake through his soggy-ass Army Man-themed birthday parade, millions of Americans were taking to the street to protest his fascistic policies in over 2,000 different events dubbed the No Kings protests. These included massive demonstrations of thousands and even tens of thousands of people in New York, Atlanta, Chicago, Houston, Denver, and of course, Los Angeles. But it also included tiny demonstrations in lesser known locales as well. Like, for example, the 150 or so people that showed up to protest in my little cherry red podunk town of 13,000 folks.
In Georgia.
Yeah.
You know you fucked up when you can fill an Olive Garden with liberal protesters in Georgia.
Right?
Just the waiter at the Olive Garden. Hey, love the cause. But 150 separate checks. Just figure it out with fucking
a lot
your
of salad
Venmo.
Breadsticks. So yeah, so the collective event was dubbed the No Kings Nationwide Day of Defiance, and it was organized by a coalition of more than 200 different organizations, including the ACLU, the American Federation of Teachers, the Communication Workers of America, and a bunch of others. And it even spilled out internationally, though the whole No Kings theme didn't work great in countries where they have kings. So outside of the U.S. borders, organizers went with no tyrants.
Danish king is like, look, I get it, but it just feels like there isn't space being made for everyone. You know, guys?
Intersectionality.
Yeah, right, right. No. So, of course, there were fears of violence on both sides, right? People on the left feared retaliatory violence from Trump supporters, and people on the right feared a wholesale lack of violence that would further underscore the farcical justifications that Trump has used to deploy troops against U.S. citizens. A political assassination in Minnesota and threats of violence against lawmakers in Texas did manage to cancel and postpone a few events, but Trump and his allies were largely denied the story of mass chaos and disruption that they were hoping for. At the time of this writing, there were no reports of any of the No Kings protests devolving into violence.
And we're not mad, we're disappointed, everybody.
Disappointed.
Yeah. LA's a little different. You know, way more money, way more
That was before. That was a different protest. Now, so, but just because protesters weren't violent doesn't mean they weren't treated as though they were violent. About 60 veterans were arrested in D.C. the night before for protesting in advance of Trump's parade. Capitol Police say that the arrests came only after a barrier was pushed down and demonstrators crossed a police line on their way to the Capitol Rotunda, a crime that Capitol Police take very seriously when Democrats do it.
Yeah, sorry, you're not technically safe unless you take a dump on Nancy Pelosi's desk.
Right, and
we should have explained
that.
Far.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But despite threats of violence from Trump supporters, excessive policing, and even shit like Missouri's governor preemptively declaring a state of emergency days before the protests started, just so that he could activate the fucking National Guard to crush whatever budding insurrection his paranoid goddamn mind created, nobody gave Fox News the scenes of upheaval and carnage that they wanted to scare Grandma with. And I'm proud of our side for that, but I want to be super fucking clear that if those protests continue not to change anything, we need to switch to the other ones. Because let's face it, Fox News is going to find something to scare Grandma with one way or the other.
That is correct.
Okay, just stay the fuck out of New York City until the wedding is done.
Exactly.
With your whiny, woke bullshit.
Post-Thursday revolution.
I will fire into a crowd of hippies happily, and then I'll hang with you the next day.
That's from his vows.
For the
That's
same
from
type
his
of protest.
He's reading from his vows right now.
Stay the fuck out of New York for that day. Kill you. And on that note, we're going to close it out. I get fascist sometimes. Just once in a while, it's for this. It's for
Welcome
this.
To the club, baby. Yeah. Noah, you're all alone. How's
I am.
That
I am. I'm just standing in the corner, real like just wishing
Trying to
the
give
door
everyone
was on
votes.
My side of the room. Yeah.
Thanks to No Illusions. Thanks to Eli Bosnick. And thanks to all the listeners who liked us and followed us on all the various internets. Please keep doing that. Please keep listening. And please keep telling your friends. And if you find the naive stupidity of our giving away a free show business model to be oddly charming, you can send us gifts of money at patreon.com/skeptocrat. Just like Tim O'Connor, Andy Harris sucks, but Maryland still rules, Eli, Geneva, Eric Manning, Mandibleman, Garrett Chomka, Ryan Fitz, and for Hillary, you should have voted for Hillary. That's excellent. And of course, the Hall of Fame donors as well.
Ooh.
On our 250th, big thanks to Justin B. Self, Henry Louis King Jr., Susanna Polulainen, Alexander Schmalz, Cassandra Hall, Chris Carr, Dan Griffith, Donna Allman, James Pipkin, Jen Moore, Jennifer Gorman, Catherine Koldehoff, Mark Zook, Michael Rops, Mitchell, Omni Zealous, Christopher Hammock, Henry or Henri, Alex Eckersley, Alex K., Annie Joy, April Poff, Ashley Kennett, Ooh! Bill Garthright, Blue Violet, Brad, Brendan Rock, Camus and Lego, Capital Three,
or Lego.
Chandra, Charles Basner, Cheryl L., Sin R. Johnson, Daniel, Derek Griffin, Edward Grabow, Elvin Engineer, Ent Drought, G4, Heebie Jeebie, I don't care what JKR says, Fox was Dumbledore's Horcrux.
Admittedly correct.
Correct indeed. Israel Mirsky, Jay Hunter, Jackie Thagger, Jay Owens,
ooh, ooh.
Ooh, ooh, indeed. Jeffrey Cowell, Jennifer Chakowski, Jim Finn, Jay Lynn, Jonathan Moyet, Julie Pipkin, KB, Kenny and Kyle's App Company.
Fuck yeah.
Kitten.academy, Krista Maney, Lethal Wheat Gluten, Mark Herzman, Mary Beth Segato, Michael Hughes, Mouthstash, Orocat, Paige Colquette, Peter Kerouac, Ray Atkinson, Cybeth, Mudek Minx Meow, Sarah, still rooting for the Hamburgers to deliver more timely justice than the current system. Suck It Rogan.
Sure.
Suzanne August.
Ooh, ooh.
Thanks for making the world better. The La Li Lule Lo, Venture Free McGee, and Fred Mustache Ride Gruthus.
Never forget.
Never forget.
He's alive. What? We're just asking you to keep in mind that Fred.
Just keep it in mind. Regular phrasing of that. Yep. Our job of talking about, well, Rome burning and making fun of the physical appearances of the burning senators is a weird one. It's a weird one. And these generous people make it all possible, and we thank you so much for that. And whether or not you're feeling financially benevolent like those fine people, if you enjoyed our brand of whimsy and you'd like to hear more dick jokes free of charge, check out our brother and sister shows, The Scathing Atheist, God Awful Movies, D&D Minus, and Citation Needed, available in all the podcast places. We just have one last thing. Let's compliment that penist. Special thanks to Ryan Slotnick of Evil Giraffes on Mars. He's the creator of the virtuosic musical stylings you heard today, which were used with permission. You should definitely check him out using the links we'll provide or by Googling the only band called Evil Giraffes on Mars. Until next time, catchphrase sign off. The preceding podcast was a production of Puzzle and the Thunderstorm, LLC, copyright 2025, all rights reserved.